Well, good evening. Good to see you in God's house tonight. Let's take a hymn book. Turn to page number 607. 607. Let's stand as we sing, Close to Thee.
Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. All along my pilgrim journey, let me walk with Thee. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with Thee. Lead me through the veil of shadows, bear me o'er life's fitful sea. Then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. Then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with Thee.
Thank you so much. You may be seated. If anybody did not get a prayer sheet, would you raise your hand and the ushers will bring one to you at this time. Just keep your hand up till they get there and they'll take care of you. Good to have Mary here. Her daughter Bobby and Yay Reynolds are at the airport picking up Menachem and Judy. They got in, landed just a few minutes ago. Fact is, they landed at 6:15. He texted me and said, we just landed. And I said, welcome to Florida, land of exploding rockets, terrorists attacked on gay bars, hurricanes, alligators, pythons, and people who are afraid to go to Israel. And that's kind of the way it is, isn't it? You feel safer where you are than you do at other places. But I hope you'll pray for them. They've landed safely, and we prayed for safe travel for them. We'll have Brother Don Orser, if you will, come lead us in prayer in just a little while after Pastor Sears shares the prayer list with us. But I want you to add James and Elizabeth McGinnis. This is Mike and Sherry Eve's daughter and her husband. He lost his job a week after they moved into their new home back in June. And now the hurricane's projection is going to be right at their house. It's going to come ashore right at their house. So they need two things. They need protection and they need a job. And so keep those things before you. Many others, and of course you'll see the things here on the prayer list. But I want you to be much in prayer for one another tonight. And Don, come on up whenever you can. Be ready to lead us in prayer.
We're praying for our president and all our government officials and praying for the peace of Israel and our missionaries serving the Middle East. It does seem rather odd that the satellite payload on that rocket was an Israeli satellite. Don't know what that was all about. Pray for the upcoming elections. Gary Sherrill had surgery on August 24th. He's retaining fluid and has some discomfort. He was at Fish Hospital for a while today, but he's home, so continue to pray for him if you will. Beth and Jerry Huber, during Jerry's treatments, I saw him yesterday. He's just skin and bones and going to further treatments. Pray for him, please. Rosalie Rehnquist is waiting for the results of her MRI. The doctors are trying to determine why her blood pressure keeps spiking. Continue to pray for Zachary. This is Margot Cordy's grandson, still in ICU, and still here, and still answers to prayer every day, but continue to pray for him, please. Jerry Von Lowe is being treated for considerable vision loss in his left eye, and pray that this vision will improve. Anna Nelson's missionary friend returned home safely. We're thankful for that answer to prayer. Bruce Tripp's friends, Victor and Willeen Minitoli, their daughter passed away on Tuesday due to cancer. So pray much for this family, if you will. Laura Buchheit's mother, Lee, had her final cancer surgery today, and we're praying that is her final cancer surgery. Ray Buchheit is suffering again with the cat scratch fever and the swollen lymph nodes and all of that's going on that typifies usually a diagnosis of cancer and lymphoma, and that's what they originally began diagnosing him as, and then found that was not the case. So we're thankful for that, but he's sick again with that. Pray for him. Kitty Short fell and broke her right shoulder, and she has an appointment tomorrow. Pray as they seek the best course of action. Another request to add is Brad Nelson. Brad Nelson had brain aneurysm surgery, and he is doing well and recovering from that. He's at Halifax Hospital, and pray for Brad and Paulette. Of course, Paulette is one who helps in the deaf interpreting many times. This is her husband, and pray for him, if you will. And then continue to pray for these folks, Mary Butler, Jean Ann Godby, Rod Mills, Gary Sherrill, Rick Elkins, Ramsey Butler, Wesley Perry, Stacy, Libby's father, and Ray Procius, Carol Alderman, Alicia Robles, Rosalie Rehnquist, Lou Sukup's neighbor Daryl, Stephen Van Ravensway, Rusty Chukowski's father, Scott Thompson. We're thankful that he was able to be here Sunday, and what a great victory there, and he is trying to recover now from all these treatments. Roger Nickel receiving chemotherapy, and Paul Trentham with a good report as well. And then praying for the Plank family in Italy, and also Rosalie Rehnquist, spotlighting her, and she's been very ill, very sick. And if you'll please lift her up in prayer, and she's very thankful for each one's been praying for her. And then these listed here in the nursing home and assisted living, Dot Daniels, Mary Lou Seaver, and Ann Sperry. And then these listed in the armed forces, these names are given to us here. Thank you, Pastor. Brother Don.
Just for you, pray, Brother Don, if you would. Jerry Von Lowe is on here, and with all this thing going on with his eyes and his eyesight, and he gave the technical names for all that's going on, I don't know. But in addition to all that, his engine blew up in his car. And so, you know, that's just like when it rains, it pours. And mentioning that, let's do pray tonight for those that will be in the path of the hurricane and all the things as Elizabeth and her husband, as well as other folks that are going to be in that. Gary Sherrill is really fighting a hard battle. He's been fighting this battle for a long time, and the doctors say every time it shows up, we'll take it out, but you're going to get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, and resistance goes down and everything like that. So just be much in prayer for him. Rosalie, not doing well at all. So do, please. And I know all of you have requests on your hearts, and if there's something that people around you, you'd like to say, pray for me. I have something going on in my life. I'd like, would you just raise your hand, folks, look around and see some folks that need our prayers and would like your prayers. Don, come pray for us, if you will.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight and thank you for the opportunity to gather here at church and open your word and hear what you have for us tonight. And Lord, we just, as these requests are mentioned, Lord, it's just evident that we're a needy people, Lord, and we have many needs in our own body for physical healing, Lord, and for many other needs to be met. And so we come to you, Lord, and just ask that you would work in each situation to bring healing where that's needed, Lord, and comfort, grace to go through the trials that many are facing. I just pray that you'd show yourself strong, Lord, on our behalf. And I pray that as you do that, that the world that's watching us would see how we respond, to these trials, and and how you answer prayers, and how you continue to, provide our needs. Lord, as I think about our country, we're also a needy people, and we're in a mess, and we need your help, there as well. And we just pray that you'd, give guidance, to our leadership. I pray that, for those in leadership in our country that are, serving you, Lord, or aligned with, what you have, that you would increase their influence in Washington, Lord, and for those that, would fight against you and what you want to accomplish, Lord, I pray that you diminish their influence. And Lord, for our, for our troops that are fighting around the world, I pray that you'd give them victories in the battles they face. I pray that you'd save many as they contemplate, their own mortality and, their need for a Savior. And then, Lord, for, for our church, I pray that you'd, just continue to work in a mighty way in our church, that you continue to, to have your will and way and continue to use this this place to be, a blessing to those here and a light to those around the world, Lord. And we'll pray that you'd be in the, the service tonight, that you'd be honored and glorified in everything that's said and done. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's sing another song, page 588, All for Jesus, All for Jesus. You can remain seated if you'll just sing out from your hearts now, 588.
All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my being's ransomed power, all my thoughts and all my doings, all my days and all my hours. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours.
On the second,
let my hands perform his bidding, let my feet run in his ways, let my eyes see Jesus only, let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus, let my lips speak forth his praise.
On the last now.
Oh, what wonder, how amazing, Jesus, glorious King of kings, deigns to call me his beloved, lets me rest beneath his wings. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, resting now beneath his wings. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, resting now beneath his wings.
Marvelous old song. Dwight L. Moody went to preach in England, and some people there were talking about him. And one fellow said to another, and some of the people that knew Mr. Moody were there, they were from America and didn't understand the terminology. He said to a friend of his, Mr. Moody is an O&O Christian. He's an O&O Christian. After he heard that a couple of times, he said to the fellow, he said, what's an O&O Christian? He said, he's an out-and-out Christian. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. I like that. I like that. We have with us tonight Missionary Daniel Tutt, who is a Romanian citizen from Romania, and his family's here. He's got his wife and two kids. This is the first time you guys have ever been here. And we're delighted you're here, and they're here with us tonight. You're going to hear much from him in just a little while about the work there in Romania that we have supported for the last few years. And I want you to get to know them and stop by their table and get a prayer card and pray for them. But do we have other folks visiting with us? Any other folks visiting with us? Good to have Mary back with us tonight. They didn't have room to put Mary and all the luggage and Judy Judy and Menachem, and whoever, in the car. So they left Mary here with us. And so that's good. We're glad to have Mary here with us. Any other visitors? Any other visitors? Randy, who you got sitting beside you? Is that Seth? Good night. He looks like he's 30 years old. That's your baby boy, huh? All right. All right. Very good. Seth, good to see you. Good to see you here tonight. A week from right now, 1 week from right now, Children's Music Academy starts up. It'll be going on right now. And so I hope you'll keep that in mind. Sign up Sunday, right, Mindy? Okay. Sign up Sunday. Registration forms will be here on Sunday, and the young people can begin signing up, and that'll be a great thing, a great thing. I will be out of town on September the 11th preaching for Adam. Becky and I will be in Athens, Hull, the large metropolitan Hull, Georgia area, and preaching there. If they're doing a 9/11 God and Country Day on that day. And I had planned to be at the God Bless America Crusade rally in Charleston, West Virginia, but that was canceled because of the flooding earlier this year. And so this Sunday, of course, Timothy Sears and his wife Kayla and their kids will be here with us, and Timothy will be preaching Sunday night. And I appreciate all the kind notes that I've received and all the texts and emails and all those kinds of things that have come, and I appreciate that so very, very much. And I appreciate the statement that has been made in so many of them, what they're praying for and expecting and anticipating and all those kinds of things, of a smooth transition. Boy, there's nothing, no, there's no transition like a smooth transition. And have you ever ridden with somebody in a car learning to drive a stick shift? That transition from first to second is generally not a smooth transition whenever they're learning to drive. But we're looking for a smooth, smooth transition. Do we have a slide from...
Yes, sir.
We do? I want to show you something. We talked about this Sunday, and now we have something to show you tonight that's a little more definitive. This is what they've sent us.
Yes, sir.
This is what they have sent us this week from their engineer that's doing the design. Now, right here is the retention pond that we have right now. In this place right here, there, I think, are 79 spaces, parking spaces, in this area right here. This is, see, just kick it, it works. In this area right here, in the southern retention pond, there are 51 additional parking places here. So 79 and 51, and then over here across the street on this lot that we're to be getting right here, there are another 58 parking places there. I don't know if I have all those numbers exactly right, but the total comes up to 178 additional parking places. Man, that's just fantastic. And the vast majority of them right here on this property. And of course, there again, you see the building, as anticipated, right there. Once we get connected to sewer and get the septic tank going, and collection area right here, and then it'll run right up through our property over to Levitt Avenue, which is right here, and connect up to the sewer right there. And I'm excited about that. It is a fruition of a number of years and a lot of work, and it's just an amazing thing if this actually does come through the way it's anticipated. It's absolutely amazing that would happen, and we're very thankful for the prospects of it. And as the thing moves along, we'll keep you updated on that, and it'll move along very, very, very well. All right, let's stand together, if you will, and let's sing, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Because He Lives, all fear is gone. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone, because I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives." I was talking to some preacher friends this week. We've been for probably 10 years now, some of us pastors who get along with each other, you know. At least part of the time we get along with each other. And we get together for 3 days, and we play golf. We just play golf. Now, I must tell you, the time of my announcement Sunday was keyed to that time, because I said, I can do this, and then I can leave town and get over this. I still find myself a little bit emotionally on the edge, but they were saying, "Well, how do you think? How do you think any people will leave?" I said, "Well, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. If I let them there, then they can do whatever they want to. But if God let them there, they're going to answer to Him." Amen. And so, you know, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. You don't follow John Reynolds, you follow God. And it's got to be that way. And if it's going to be blessed, if it's going to be right, and because he lives, we go on. Because He lives, we follow His will for our lives. Because He's alive, He's the one that follows. "My sheep hear My voice," Jesus said. "And I know them, and they follow Me." That's Jesus talking. That's Jesus. And so we follow Him. And because He lives, I can... Let's sing it again, then we'll shake hands, all right? "And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. And because I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives." Greet those around you. Greet those around you. Say hello. I'm glad to see you. All those kinds of things.
And then someday I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He reigns. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Well, God bless you. You may be seated. I want to remind everyone that neither rain nor snow nor dark of night shall keep us from seniors, super seniors fellowship. Is that right? Did I get that about right? Okay. The storm is going north of us, and for us, that's a blessing. For others, it definitely is difficult circumstances. But 11 o'clock tomorrow, 11 o'clock, make sure that you're here. The singing Naramores will be here, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so bring a dish, bring side dish, desserts, and all that good stuff.
Great announcement.
Great. Amen. Okay, well, we got to hear about that then. Some upcoming things for the rest of this year as well as into 2017. Some special trips that seniors will be sponsoring and all of that. So he'll be giving all those information and details and things. And then on the 11th, that's Grandparents' Day. So make sure that you're here and use that as an opportunity to get children and grandchildren to come to church with you. That would be a great thing to do. You know, you know it's Grandparents' Day on the 11th. I need you to come and be here with me on Grandparents' Day. So make sure and use that if you can at all. And anything to get folks under the sound of the gospel and back in church. So that'll be on the 11th. Thank you, Pastor.
If it's not illegal or immoral, use it to get them here. Okay. I tell you what, let's do. Let's let you guys sit down. I want you to hear our missionary tonight before we receive the offering. Because we're going to give the offering tonight to the work in Romania. I've been there. I've seen that work. It's absolutely fantastic. I have told you this. Well, I'll say that more later. But the work there in the churches in Romania, and it's a very needy land for the gospel, of course. But I'm absolutely thrilled with what I see going on in Romania. I'm thrilled at the strength of the churches. Now, all the churches are not strong, but I don't know anywhere all the churches are strong. They surely were not all strong in Asia Minor, whenever in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the Holy Spirit instructed John to write to the churches there. They were certainly not all strong churches. Maybe a couple of them were pretty strong out of all seven. Maybe two of them were fairly strong. But I was impressed with the buildings, with the congregation, with the size of that. And size is important in the Lord's work because there is a strength to that. Now, it's not as important as being right with the Lord and God's Holy Spirit leading and guiding and the power of the Holy Spirit working in the church. But when the Holy Spirit works in the church, that happens. There's just inevitable things that happen. And I'm going to take some time in each of the services from now until October the 16th to talk about some things. Whenever I met with the four infamous families I talk about frequently, three of which are here tonight, at least representatives from those families, are here tonight. And whenever I met with them, I said, if the Lord is in this, and the Lord has this for me, I said, I will not come to Orange City to see how many people I can baptize. I'm not coming to Orange City to see how many people I can win to the Lord. I'm not coming to Orange City to do those kinds of things. I want to come to Orange City. If the Lord's in this, I want to come and be part of this to build a church. To build a church. And I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about the church that God indwells, that the Holy Spirit lives in. I said, I want to come to build a church. Now, if a church is built, I included this also, I'm not coming to Orange City to see how many missionaries we can support. Now, if a church is built, then all of those things happen. They just happen. People get saved. If a church is built, people have to get saved. But I've seen people win many, many people to the Lord and not build a church. But if you build a church, those things will happen. I've seen some of the greatest soul winners I ever knew. Won people to the Lord everywhere, but did not build a church. And we want to build a church, and souls get saved. People get baptized. That just happens. And whenever that happens, missionaries get supported. Now, we did not hit the ground running on missionary support. But we laid a very good foundation for that. We laid a very good foundation to that in the very beginning. A foundation that sustains now over 100 missionaries being supported. And I would rather do that than the first week take on 10 missionaries and 20 years later support 25. And so the Lord leads in different ways and in different situations. Now, if we've had for many years a missions conference, that generally in most churches is the lowest attendance for any series of meetings in a church is the missions conference. And you know why that is, don't you? Because there's a lot of pressure on in missions conference. There's a lot of pressure on doing the work of getting out the gospel and of giving to support missions. Now, I don't know whether those two are related or not, but it's a fact that that's the truth. But there's nobody can look at this church without understanding, if you get and look into the church, into the emphasis. If you attend a service on Sunday, not many places you go to church keep the missionaries before you every service like we do at the offering time. Very few places do that. But the missionaries are here all the time. We're keeping them before you all the time. We've put this board back here, this interactive board, where it's just absolutely amazing. And if you've never gone by and played with that thing, go by and play with it. You say, well, I'm afraid I'll damage it. I promise you, you won't damage it. If you see them little kids back there pecking on it, you know, you say, well, you ought to keep them kids away from there. No, 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 no. Let those kids go up there. Let them understand that missionaries are a big deal. It's a big deal, and it's something that they can identify with. I take this time to talk about that tonight. Now, in the future, next missions conference will be a little different. You say, well, what are they going to do? I have no idea what they're going to do. But it'll be different. But it's going to be so good, I'm sure it's going to be so good, I'm probably going to want to come back and attend. I mean, Pastor Sears does good with those kinds of things. He really does. And it will be, it'll be a great time. It'll be a great time. And he'll have speakers in for Founders Conference that I'm going to want to come back and hear. But, you know, you'll enjoy it. I am? I really want to come then, man. I really want to come. but things, understand, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter did not do things exactly alike. But there's as many good ways to do things as there are good men and ladies that God leads to do God's will through their own individual ministry and personality. Just because it's different doesn't mean it's bad. And it doesn't mean it's better. Or it doesn't mean it's worse. It's just different. And so, embrace the difference. Embrace the difference. You say, well, I like the way we used to do it. Good. Like the way we used to do it, but enjoy the way we do it now. You know, you might change service times. You might not start at 10 o'clock morning service. He might want to start at 12:30 morning service and let you sleep in, have Sunday school at 11:30, and I doubt that, but, you know. But, you know, whenever we started the church, we had evening service at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. Can you imagine? You don't even get home by 5 o'clock. And so it's good. It's good. You say, well, what are you going to do, preacher? Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to quit church and lay home and sleep and all that kind of stuff. You know that's true. You know that's true. I'll tell you, I'll say, Becky, you play the piano and I'll sing and pray and then you can close and we'll have, you know, a lot of people attend Twin Sheets Baptist Church. And I'm not talking about people that can't get out. I'm talking about people who can get out. Well, I've talked about this long enough. I'll talk more about it later. But it's a good thing. Lisa going to sing for us? You going to sing for us? Who's singing? Is Lisa singing?
Yes, sir.
Lisa? Don't act surprised. I saw it on the list here, what you're supposed to sing tonight. Okay. Since we've jumped the offering, we've skipped the offering, we're going to take it up after the after Brother Daniel Tuck comes and speaks to us and shares with us tonight. This is what we want to be. Sing it to us.
To God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly life. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire in our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey.
Amen, amen, and may it be so, may that be true. Dr. Daniel Tuck, I want him to come, and I want you to introduce your family and tell us about him and tell us about your work. I think you have some pictures for us and all those kinds of wonderful things. So come on and take some time tonight and share with us what God is doing in Romania. And I really would like to know some of the things that are going on in Romania along with what's going on with the ministry there where you are.
All right, thank you, Pastor.
Okay.
Good evening. It's good to be back in the States. It's the first time when I'm here with my wife and my two kids. We are here after 6 years of work in Romania. We are half Romanian, half American. I don't know how that sounds to you, but we are Romanian born. In 2001, I came in the States with that desire to live the American dream. And for 10 years, I did live the American dream. And then after 10 years, the Lord put on my heart. And the question that I had for my wife when I got married, I said, if God is speaking to us to go back to Romania, will you go with me? And you know, when you are in love and butterflies are flying in your belly, you say everything. So she said yes. So in 2010, the Lord really touch our heart, open the doors for us, open all the doors that we couldn't open, and we move back to Romania. I've seen tonight that you are praying for the missionary in the Middle East. My feeling right now is that the Middle East is moving into Europe, so they don't really want to move in Romania, because Romania, they don't have such a great social work program, but many of them are coming to Serbia, Hungary, and they go to Germany and the other countries. As you know, one of your missionaries from here were going to come to Romania, and I think for a while I'll be her boss. So, Brittany, I don't know how happy she was going to be about that, but that's how life is. It's good to be back. It's good to see Pastor. And I have pictures for you, some things that we are doing there in Romania, and I will have at the end a few questions. If you want to ask some questions, I'll be glad to answer. I'm here because of my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather, he was a priest helper. This is happening under the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. And the priest had a good intention for my great-grandfather. He wanted to send my great-grandfather to the preschool. But somebody gave him a New Testament in a Hungarian language. And my grandfather read that New Testament on the wooden stove light. And the priest kept telling his father, don't let him read the New Testament because he was going to get astray. So he started reading the New Testament, and then after he read the New Testament, he started asking the priest, What are you saying about this? What are you saying about this? And this is how the church started in my grandparents' area where they are from. He just went in people's villages and read the Bible. Then several years later, my father was baptized in secret. Because before 1990, you could not get baptized. Only if the cults will let you be baptized. You need to have an agreement. So in one Saturday evening, the pastor took all those people who were not approved by the government to the river and baptized them in the evening. I'm here because one man on his name, Don Kyer, the founder of Frontline Fellowship, who came to our house for many, many times. In one evening, he stayed in our living room and he asked me, "Do you know the Lord?" I was 12 years old. And I said, "I'm the preacher's son. Of course I know the Lord. I've been to church all my life." He said, "I didn't ask you who you are. I asked you if you know the Lord personally." He took me on that Roman road. And at the end of the discussion, I cried. I gave my life to the Lord. In Romania, on those times, you cannot be baptized at 12. You're too young. So they baptized me at 15. But I'm here taking his ministry forward just because he took time to speak with me. So I'm encouraging you tonight that no children, it's too small to speak with him about the Lord. And the Lord put that seed in my heart, and that seed just grow, and just because of that I'm here. This is the theme verse of Frontline Fellowship, and one of the things that we try to do is try to find faithful men. Because today, I think we are in a crisis of faithful men. And faithful men who are going to train and they will be able to teach others as well. Romania, it's border with Black Sea, Bulgaria, Ukraine, Moldova, Hungary, and Serbia. Population 19.94. Baptist 0.56. I think we are dropping from last year. Last year we've been 0.62. 18.04 Eastern Orthodox Church, 5.95 Protestants in Romania. And I will tell you why I'm giving you this statistic in a minute. Romanians are very religious people, very friendly people, very relational people. In order to tell them about the Lord, you have to have a relation with them. They like to talk with you. They like to know you. You are looked upon with disgrace if you change your religion. It's almost a national sin to change religion. They have a saying in Romania, they don't change wives and the religion. So just for you to know. One of the things that Romanians are doing for a long, long time is worshiping holy relics. It's part of their worshiping time. And many people are waiting in line for 3 miles to kiss the relics. They waited for 12 hours in line. They pray for health and protection. And I do have a picture for you here. Kids, old people, young people, they're all staying in line to kiss the holy relics. And many of them believe that those things are going to give them health. Most of them declare themselves Christians. So my question to you tonight is, how can you invite them to church if they tell you that they are Christian? One of our issues there is that when we invite them to our church, they are telling, "You are not coming to our church, why should we come to your church?" And if they believe that they are Christian, how can you tell them about the Lord? You know, I stayed one time and I think it was easier for us, for Romanians, not to know nothing about the Lord than to know just some parts about God and have all this confusing in their hearts. What Frontline Fellowship did? Well, Frontline Fellowship, instead of taking one family and investing time and investing resources, because during the 22 years that we've been in Romania, we experienced many other things. In 1990, Frontline and with another group of people, took into the States 20 people to train. You know how many people of them returned back home? One. So Frontline decided it's a lot more easier to train them in Romanian, to train Romanians who are speaking the language, who know the culture. So instead of sending one family from the States, they decide to find local people, local pastor, local young people who had a desire to work for the Lord and invest in them. I only can tell you this tonight, that with a salary of American missionary that we are sending from the States, we are American missionaries, you almost can support about 6 or 7 national pastors in Romania, just for you to find out the difference. And this is what we have been doing from 1994. But we look for faithful men, and I can tell you tonight that faithful men are hard to find. From 1994 until now, I think we have almost 100 churches either reopen or open. I asked somebody in Texas how many churches a missionary should open in their lifetime. They said 10. I said, that's an extraordinary number, 10. But how about if we have 100 people who are going to go out and be in their communities and speak about the Lord in their communities? How much that effective will be for the gospel? This is the Romanian teachers, the majority of them, in the Bible school that we have there. It is a Bible school. It's not a university. We are not offering a degree through the government programs. No, it is a Bible school. We want to give the opportunity to men in special, whoever want to get trained in the Bible, to be able to come here. And most of the teachers are pastors in the local churches there. What Frontline want to do is to have a Romanian school in Romania, not an American school in Romania. So the majority of the pastors are local pastors, and they teach the students the problems that they are having Sunday by Sunday in everyday life. This is the old school, old classroom. Pastor Reynolds was there. He was teaching one of this classroom. But this is the new classroom. God help us to build a new addition to the old building. And with His grace and your support, and I know you received many letters from Brother Fortner about the building, but we have been able to have this graduation, 18 men that graduated from their first year of seminary. And this is another picture of the classroom there. Graduation 2014. We do have two ladies there. I do encourage all the churches who are having kids ministry to send their ladies who are taking care of the kids ministry to the school. It's important for them to teach our kids the Bible, not some story that they read in some books. So, graduation 2015, and some people graduated the second year or the third year. And this is the graduation in 2016. I can tell you that this was the largest graduation that we had in 6 years. Well, it's not every year the same. 2 years ago, I sent two of the students home because we believe there that if you came to school and if we support you there, you should do very well. So if you're not doing well, we'll send you back home. I have some pictures with graduates in ministry. These are pastors. And the reason that I put the thing there is that one of the pastors in that picture just died 2 months ago from a cancer. They discovered him with cancer in February, and several months later we put him in ground. A very good man, a man who loved the Lord and loved the ministry. I've been to his funeral. All of our colleagues been to his funeral. And it's such a tremendous loss for us to see a pastor going at 58. But the Lord, He is having His plans and He knows better. We did a graduation celebration after 10 years, after they finished the school. It was our pleasure to have them there with their wives and with their kids. And we have been blessed to hear the stories and what God did in their churches. This is how the school looked when I went there in June 2010. 5 feet of water, collapsing fence in the left there, you can see. And threatened with a lawsuit. The neighbor there had a pool under that fence, and if the pool would come in our part, then he was going to take us to court. This is how the building is looking right now. It is God's grace. I only did whatever He asked me to do, and your support. And your support. And people are enjoying now a new facility, and it is just a blessing for us to have this there. Of course, many of you read about our problems with our neighbors and all that, but we put that thing in God's hands as well. We start the construction area again on the old building where the old classroom were, and we found there a basement that is from World War II. As they bombed the area there in Timișoara, they just built on top of that basement, and nobody knew until we dug there. So that's where we are right now. Of course, this means another paperwork, another building permit, and all kinds of good stuff. And only if you come and stay in Romania for 3 months, then you will understand what I'm telling you about paperwork in Romania. This is one of our graduates, Adi Negru. This is one of the church that he planted there. And I've been there with a group of American missionaries. Our van broke down when we came back from the mission field. He's having about 3 or 4 churches, small churches. What brother, what Pastor Reino said is true. In the city, we have pretty fair, large churches. But an hour away from the city, we'll have churches with 2, 3 members, 5 members, 10 members. This is Nick. Nick's story is interesting because Nick, he was in jail. He did something in his past he's not proud of, but in jail God called him and he received the Lord in jail. After he came out of jail, he asked us if he can come to school. And I said, Nick, if this is what the Lord is calling you to come, we'll receive you at school. You know what Nick is doing now? Nick is going in the prison that he was. Some inmates are still there, and he's a testimony to them. I could not go there. They don't know me, but they know Nick, how Nick was before and how Nick is now. And look at Nick right now. And the ministry that he's doing there in the southern part of Romania, it is unbelievable. This was the whole idea at Frontline, to take people from their background, educate them, train them, and send them back in their communities, because they can do a better job than we can do. They can do a better job that I can do there in their communities. This year, for the first time in our area, if you can believe this, we had the first pastor and wife conference. You know, we usually pastor do conference for ourselves, and we meet with each other, and we greet each other, and we have a great time. Many of the pastors who has been to this conference, and I know some of you support the conference, came to Brother Bill and to me and tell me this is the first time in 30 years when I'm going out with my wife for 3 days with no kids. I made it mandatory with no kids because I just want the pastors to reconnect with their wives. I'm an assistant pastor. I serve with my dad. It is a blessing time for me to serve with him, but I know what it is to be caught up in everything, so we are busy. This is another picture from that mission conference, and thank you very much to all of you who supported the mission conference. It is my dream that we will have this mission conference maybe every 2 years or so, because definitely pastors need to have their times with each other and with their wives. I would like to tell you tonight that all the Romanian is Christian, and we baptize 200 at a time, but that's not the case. We baptize 3 people, we baptize 2 people, we baptize 1 people, because we are interested in building a church. We're interested in building a church. We would like more people to come to church, but it is not to us. Our job and my job is to preach the gospel, and the gospel is the one who will convince them. This is one of the baptismal service that we did in Jurac, one of the churches that I serve. It's a small church near Timișoara. And this is another baptism in a church in Timișoara, a small church as well. Well, if you think how a missionary is doing, right there it's our bank account. It's not from this month, it's about several months ago. But when we move back to Romania, we understand that God will going to provide. Do I recommend to all the missionaries to do what I did? No. But that was my understanding on what God called me to do. When we move back to Romania, we move on $400 per month. My understanding it was that God called me to the ministry, and if he called me to the ministry, that he was going to take care of us. Frustration? Yes. Discussion about the money? Yes. But this is life. And you cannot go into Romania and expect to live like an American in Romania. You have to adapt to the people there and to their needs. Right now we are at $1,100 per month, and we desperately need to raise more support. We need 13 partners at $150 per month. And I just want to say thank you to your church, to your faithfulness during this time. It has been such a blessed time for us and such an encouragement that you send your support every month. Thank you, Pastor, and thank you, church. Special project, I know that this year you send us some money for the car. I just want to tell you that our 15 years old car, it's about to die. I took the car to the 6 mechanics, and none of them can figure out what's wrong with the car. So I will put this in front of the people. We pray about for a year, almost a year, for the Lord to help us buy another car. We are looking at $6,500 to purchase another used vehicle. It has been a faithful car, but it's dying on us. Would you like to be one of the partners in God's work in Romania? Right there you have our website, tatmission.org, and you have our Facebook page. That's what they say today. If you don't have a Facebook page, you don't exist. So we made one. What happened in Romania, we are still having the same corruption in our government, either though we like to say after 26 years that we move forward. I think we did move forward. For me, it was hard to go back and accommodate because I started working here. I developed the working ethics here. When I went back to Romania, I discovered another working ethics and another lifestyle. There are people who are rich and people who are poor, really don't have the middle class, or the middle class is dying, surely. We are in between Germany and Russia. We don't know who is selling us to who from the political standpoint, but because I'm not a politician, I'm not going to get into it. So thank you again for your prayers. Thank you for your faithful support. We are here today to tell that the Lord, He has been faithful to us. I don't know how. Sometimes I didn't saw the light at the end of the tunnel, but He know. Our family verse. And this is a verse that came to us. We lost a pregnancy about a month and a half ago. It's Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Amen. Thank you for your time, and thank you for the privilege to tell you about Romania. If you have any questions. Thank you. My oldest daughter is going to sing a song in Romanian this time. At the cross. It's a hymn that you all know. Yes.
Just come by. Yeah, I kind of like that. Yeah, I kind of like that. These folks are doing a great work. I've been in some of those country churches, and I've been in some of the city churches. Some of you remember when I came back from Romania, I played a video of the mandolin band. And this is one of the players in the mandolin band. Do you still, do you play too, huh? Okay. And how many players do you have now, Daniel?
About 30.
About how many?
30.
About 30. About 30 mandolins. I'm telling you what, they've played in the presidential palace and they've played all over the place. It's absolutely magnificent music. And whenever I preached at his dad's church, and they played. And I said, I've got to hear it. I've got to hear it. And while they're playing, I've got my camera, and what a day we live in. I'm videoing the whole thing, man. I absolutely loved it. I wanted to get up and walk around, but I was afraid, you know, that might not fit in Romania. And so, but it's great. How long has your dad been pastoring this church?
30 years.
30 years. And you guys have, what, 400? 400 in the church? They're in the suburb of Timișoara? 200. But it's a beautiful building, absolutely beautiful building, and it's just a strong work and testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know. It seems like we ought to be able to do something to get this guy a car, doesn't it?
Yes.
Doesn't it?
Amen.
Seems like we ought to be able to do something about that. What can we do? What can we do? How much?
Just buy it. Just buy it. Just buy it for them.
I hear you. Buy it for them. Buy it for them. Would you like to do that?
Second,
we got to have a motion first. Somebody make a, you make a motion. Don, you make a motion. Seconds all around. Seconds all around. Any question about that? Any question about that? You know, when I think of folks, they get $1,100 a month. And they need more than double that to sustain themselves. And getting a car to go to the school, don't know if they're going to get there or not. it just seems like we ought to do something. If you're in favor of it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Any opposed? Feel free to oppose it if you don't want it. Okay. We're going to give $6,500 for the car. Okay? Okay. And then we're going to give you an offering for coming and being here tonight. Okay? So ushers, come forward. And let's give them an offering for being here with us. Now, this is not part of the $6,500. This is not part of that. This is in addition to that. What you give, we're not going to say, well, we counted the offering tonight, and it was this amount of money, so we'll deduct that from the $6,500. Not going to do that. Not going to do that. This is on top of the $6,500. And so feel free to give. Feel free to give to these good folks. I don't think you've introduced your wife and give us their names. Marietta? Yes.
He went to Jeremiah and Sarah Elizabeth.
Wonderful.
Born in Texas.
Okay. And you did a beautiful job singing. We're thankful. We're thankful for that. That is a great blessing to us. Father, I thank you for Daniel and his family. I thank you, Father, to leave a good job here in the States. In a good church, with a good church to go to, but without much support and way to live to do your work there in that place, which requires constant attention for the school and the people that are there, with very little staff, and trying to coordinate the teachers that come in and get the pastors to be in there and have their preparation done. And all those things, and yet the great work that's being done, Lord, I thank you for that. I pray that this night will be a blessing and an encouragement to them. And I pray what we've done will facilitate getting that vehicle. And what we give now will be an encouragement to their lives and their time here. And I pray that you'll use them in a wonderful way. I pray you'll bless the people that come there to the school. Lord, I wish that all of them that came would be serious about this matter of preparing to serve you and serving you, but I guess it's there like it is everywhere in our Christian colleges here, that there's some that are not too serious about it. But Lord, I pray you'll give them good people and give them the wisdom of who to eliminate from the school and who to keep there. And Father, I pray for your blessings upon them. Thank you for them. Now, Lord, again, we ask you to watch over folks that are in the way of the hurricane, and I pray that you'll just be with all those that have needs tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being here tonight. I trust your heart has been blessed and moved and stirred for this land. I hope you remember, stop by, pick up a prayer card, and pray for the ministry of the Tuts there in Romania. And I thank the Lord for them. I thank the Lord for what's being done. And Daniel, if you and your wife and kids want to go on back and be there at the table and meet the folks as they come by, that would be good. Stop by and say hey to them. And as I look at the pictures and see the church there and see his dad, I like his dad's hair. He and his dad and I have hair that are a lot alike. And I appreciate it so very, very much. Well, pray for a good day Sunday tomorrow. Cleaning, mowing, I don't know whether much mowing will get done tomorrow or not with the rain that may be coming in. But inside, be able to work and be ready at 11:30. 11 o'clock. Senior Family Fellowship. Have a good time. Enjoy it. God bless you. You're dismissed.